Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 17th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
It is Transfiguration Sunday. And I confess to you, my siblings in Christ, that this is a day that hasn't often moved me in the way so many others in the circle of the church's year do. All Saints Sunday, I feel it in my guts. Christ the King Sunday burns my heart. Easter is overflowing joy. Christmas, pensive mystery. Transfiguration Sunday, for me at least, is perplexing. What we even mean by this word is only the beginning of the perplexity. Transfigure. That prefix trans means on the other side. It tells us about the crossing of a boundary. Often these days we may hear this prefix and think of those of us whose experience and identity draws us across the boundaries of how we have collectively constructed gender. Yet there are so many words that show us how boundary crossings, like the ones we celebrate today, can be both beautiful and also dangerous. Transpose, transport, transmit, translate, transcend, transfuse, transgress. Every boundary crossing is a risk. What will happen to the music when it is in a new key? Will the words make sense in another language? What will happen when we step over the line? And what will happen when we see Jesus in a new way? Today, the very boundary of Jesus' physical body is crossed. He is transfigured. But, and this is where this perplexing day has found its way into my heart this year, I don't think the transfiguration of Jesus is just something we see and have to make sense of. We don't just get to puzzle out how Jesus is changed, because I don't think he's the only one who is. Because crossing a boundary doesn't only change the one who does the crossing. Jesus goes up the mountain and brings Peter and James and John with him, and up there, away from everything and everyone else, these three followers and friends are witnesses as Jesus changes, truly changes. And I think that changes them too. And I think God did that on purpose. Now, that doesn't mean we've unraveled the perplexity yet, of course, because even if we know what translations and transfusions and maybe transgressions are, I'm still not sure we know what transfiguration is. It's an odd word to our thinking. If any of you can think of an example when we use that word any time other than this Sunday in these walls, get with me, because I can't think of one. We talked about the prefix trans, the transness of it all, but what does the whole word really mean? Well, I think maybe you know more Greek than you realize, and maybe the original word can help us. Because in the original text, this word is metamorphothe. This is metamorphosis. Crossing a boundary from one state or stage to another, becoming almost a new thing entirely, completely changing and yet still somehow being a part of the same thing you were before, like the caterpillar that becomes a butterfly, which is still somehow the same creature. It is still itself, and it is also unrecognizably different. And this word appears only three other places in the Christian Testament than where we heard today. And the other time is in Mark's description of the same event. And then twice it is used by Paul in Romans and in 2 Corinthians. I sort of wish the composers of the lectionary had given us 2 Corinthians today so we could hear side by side the telling of Jesus' transfiguration with what Paul writes in his letter, which incidentally connects us back to what we heard from Exodus about Moses going up to the mountain of God. Because what Paul describes in 2 Corinthians is the transfiguration that Moses experienced in that time, which made his face shine so brightly that he had to wear a veil over it so they didn't overwhelm and frighten the people of God who didn't understand what was happening. Paul, in this passage of Corinthians, compares the transfiguration of Moses to what is to happen to all of us when we come to know Jesus. Paul writes, "And all of us, with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of God as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit." Transfiguration, according to Paul, is not just something sort of magical that happens to Jesus. It is not even just something that a few lucky chosen friends get to witness. It is something that happens to us. Dr. Corey Driver points out in his commentary on Matthew for today that Jesus could just as easily have gone up the mountain alone to have this mystical experience and communion with the ancestors in faith, Elijah and Moses. But he chooses to bring witnesses. Peter, James, and John were meant to see this perplexing thing because it wasn't only to change Jesus in a temporary, fantastic sort of way. It was also to change them. The transfiguration wasn't only going to change Jesus. It was also going to change them. It is also going to change us. And Jesus then tells them to keep this change, this mystery, hidden for a time, perplexing again, to let it work on their hearts, because he knows the change won't be complete until the final boundary is crossed, until Jesus goes from cross to tomb and returns again, so that that final boundary won't hold us either. But the change began in a new way on this day, because one thing is for sure, they did not go back down the mountain the same. Even if for now the transfiguration was hidden inside of them, going down the world, down the mountain and back into the world, I think that the whole world became a kind of chrysalis. The disciples were changing. Now everything was changing. I've never been on the inside of a chrysalis, but I imagine, for as lovely as it seems from the outside, it's actually a pretty terrifying place to be on the inside. Everything is dissolving, reorienting. It's vulnerable. Once the transfiguration begins, you can't defend yourself. You can only let it keep working until it is done. You have to wait, weak, and in the darkness, suspended in between what you were and what you're about to become. Perhaps the church's entire existence is a chrysalis for the new creation. So today we stand at the threshold of Lent. We stand at the threshold of the world's great transfiguration through the suffering, death, and resurrection of Christ. It is a vulnerable, maybe frightening place to be at this boundary, suspended between what we are and what we can become. For this coming season, we often put aside some things, fasting in some form or another. We pray, we repent. We seek to live in love towards one another. In our worship here, we will put away the great word of celebration that the church carries, Alleluia. We won't be ready to say our Alleluias again, maybe, until we have emerged on the other side of this great boundary crossing season. As we go down from the mountain of transfiguration today, it is as if the whole world is being spun into a dark cocoon, so we can continue becoming, all of us, what we were born to be. And Jesus continues to lead our way. And the voice of God comes out of the heavens as Christ is transfigured before us and speaks the same words that were spoken at his baptism. This is my son, the beloved with whom I am well pleased. And a new coda is added, a punctuation to that proclamation, an edict to clarify what we need for the journey ahead. Listen to him. The voice adds, listen to him. If you need anything to hold on to, in the midst of the troubling and perplexing days, the in-between becoming time, God gives us this extra word for our journey of boundary crossing, of transfiguration. Listen to him. And so we fix our eyes and ears on Christ, as we see where he will lead us next, because we will never be called to go there alone. For this we can truly say, thanks be to God. Amen.